Hale, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Let me give that again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or out here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a good friend and one of my favorite guests. His name is Dr. Russell Blaylock. Dr. Blaylock, are you there? Dr. Blaylock, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, fine. And Dr. Blaylock, is, for many years, is a neurosurgeon. He wrote a wonderful book, which we carry, called Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills, going into the background of aspartame and how this has been foisted on the people and all the really terrible damage it does to people and their brains and minds and bodies. And then more recently, he's written a book called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which is, we have never had a book that has had quite this impact. We move them almost on a daily basis, or sometimes many, many of them, because, of course, there's a section in this book on bioterrorism and what you really need to do to prepare yourself for it. Now, certainly duct tape and the plastic sheeting is not the way you should want to address this. What you want to do is realize that if there is to be a bioterrorist attack, that you want to have your maximum possible immunity, because that's how the body was made to stave off infections, certainly not duct tape and plastic. So unfortunately, there's a great many things in our society today, in our environment, that break down immunity, and a lot of it has to do with nutrition. Well, here I'm getting way ahead of myself, because we have Dr. Blaylock, and Dr. Blaylock, let's talk a little bit about this. Why don't we talk first about the SARS virus? And, you know, I'm reading these articles out of the Orient, where really, apparently, they're having a terrible time in China with this. They're not telling the public the truth about this, but apparently they're an awful lot of people really have become very ill, and there's even a question whether they've been concealing the number of people who've died. But this seems to be spreading gradually and progressively, not exploding, but spreading, I think, what, 22 countries now, the way it's spread to?
Yes, it's moved just about all over the world at the present time.
Well, of course, you know, one of the most amazing things is they've been able to map out this virus now. And it would appear to be, although it's a coronavirus, it's unlike any that we've ever seen before. It's almost like a completely new virus.
Right. In fact, this was one of the things discovered early on, was that this virus is unlike anything they'd seen before. It didn't match any of the human coronaviruses or the animal coronaviruses. And one of the things about these type of viruses is that they tend to stay within the species, so that the species of coronavirus that cause head colds in humans is specific for humans, and the types of the coronavirus infect animals stay in the animals. It rarely travels from animals to humans. And this was something that demonstrated this virus was different in that it was highly virulent, highly contagious. It produced a lower respiratory pneumonia, that is, in the lungs and the bronchial tubes, which was almost never seen with the naturally occurring coronaviruses. On rare occasions, if it did get into the lungs, it produced a very mild disease. It did not produce the 4% mortality that we're seeing. But it's a very unusual virus. Its origin is very unusual. The Chinese have traced this, or the World Health Organization traced this to a hotel, the Metropole Hotel, the ninth floor, and ironically to a single room, and that room was room 911. Which to me, I kind of was struck by the fact that room 911 was where all this started, and it's gotten very little attention in the media. The person that it's been traced to is a 64-year-old professor of nephrology there at the university in the Guangdong province in China, which kind of disputed the original idea that this was a mutant virus that spread from animals to humans and the peasants. So here you had a university professor who's not around pigs and ducks coming down with the first case of SARS. You would expect that there's a mutant virus that would start in peasants working in fields that had particularly ducks mixed in with pigs, which they're hypothesizing the spread from the duck to the pig. So that doesn't fit this naturally occurring mutant virus. We do know that RNA viruses tend to mutate very easily, and it's been demonstrated that this particular coronavirus mutates very easily. But again, that doesn't explain this appearance.
And of course, what's interesting, only about 25% of the people have any upper respiratory tract infection. Of course, the problem is that it produces a lower lobe pneumonia, and in many cases, a very lethal lower lobe pneumonia. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the elderly. Sometimes it can be in people who would be otherwise very, very healthy. And yet, of course, they get this. They can't breathe. Their lungs fill up. And eventually, of course, if they do not have adequate support or adequate resistance, they die. And this is incredible because, you know, we've just never seen anything like this. Well, going back to the First World War, I wonder if any significance to the fact that some people are saying we are already in the Third World War. And now suddenly this terrible new disease strikes, and some of the people will have gastrointestinal symptoms, a lot of diarrhea and things like that. And that isn't typical for a cold either. So this is an entirely new disease, an entirely new virus, never seen before. They say there are three types of coronavirus, but this is a fourth. And I was reading something today. They were talking, you hear all these reports. This one was saying, sort of, they said something, part of turkey coronavirus and part of a bovine coronavirus, and but not exactly either one of them. And then, of course, we hear all these other stories. So you really don't know quite what to believe. Do you have that feeling as you begin reading this, all the information that's coming out, from being deluged with information that does nothing but confuse?
Well, yes, and the fact that they quickly did the genetic sequencing on this virus, yet they haven't released what they've discovered. The other thing about this virus, you know, some people are saying, well, it's only a 4% mortality. But remember, the Spanish flu that you're talking about after World War One only had a 2.5% mortality, and it killed 20 to 40 million people. We must also remember that this is a very severe disease in the survivors. That 10 to 20% of people that develop this infection have to be placed on respirators and intensive care units. So it takes a pretty severe pulmonary disease or lung disease to require that you be on a respirator. And a lot of these people, after they recover, have chronic lung problems. At least that's what's starting to appear now. The other thing is the coronavirus tends to migrate to the brain and lives in the brain cells, the neurons, and it can stay there for a lifetime. Now, coronaviruses is one of the viruses that's most closely associated to multiple sclerosis. So the concern here is that with this virus being much more virulent, implanting itself in neurons in the brain, what sort of neurological disease is going to come long-term, say 5, 10, 20 years from now, in the people who survive this infection? We don't know that at this time, and we have some lessons from the Spanish flu of 1917-18. After the virus had killed most of the population it was going to kill, the survivors then had a large number of them develop what's called post-encephalitic Parkinsonism. That is, after they recovered from the virus, they developed the typical symptoms of Parkinson's disease plus a few other neurological problems. So we know that you can develop neurological disease after recovering from such viruses as flu viruses, and particularly the coronavirus. And that particularly concerns me on the long-term consequences of this virus.
Well, the thing is, it's too early yet to say, but we can only say it's something new. There is no precedent for it in nature or in the history of other coronaviruses. And we do know, of course, the thing that disturbs me is we do know that they have been working in certain laboratories to create horrible new diseases for many, many years. And that's the subject of my latest newsletter, and I think you'll be fascinated to read some of the material we've put together and accumulated to show that there are laboratories where really are factories of death. Well, and not only that, but they're even working on certain specific types of disease that will target specific racial groups. I mean, talk about crass indifference to human suffering. Of course, some people might call that genocide if you targeted certain racial groups. And I would like to suggest that's exactly what is intended. Well, but I don't think that is what SARS is about. Certainly it seems to, although the one interesting thing so far, 160 cases, at least last time, last figures, and they change every day, here in the United States, and no deaths in America. And yet, of course, if it really has a 4%, 3 to 4% mortality, you would have expected that we would have had 5 or 6 people die here already. And I wonder why Americans are not coming down with it, are dying as they do in so many other countries.
Well, part of it may be the quality of the health care that we have. You know, most of the countries where people are dying have socialized medicine. Canada has socialized medicine. And the level of care, the drugs they use, the respirators, all of these things are inferior compared to American type of medical care that still has some surviving fever medicine. So I think that can make a difference. Plus, the nutritional status makes a lot of difference. If you look at the poorer countries like China, even though it's killing young people and otherwise healthy people, most that are dying are people with chronic illnesses, the elderly, and those with poor nutrition, which we see in all epidemics. That's the vast majority of people that die. So your nutritional status makes a lot of difference. I don't think there's a lot of difference in nutritional status between Canada and the United States, but when you compare Hanoi or North Vietnam and China and Indonesia, you may see a significant difference in a large population of people.
And I think this is one of the things that I know that certainly was never stressed in medical school, but I think it's something that everybody should think of. And I think increasingly now it is being stressed, the importance of nutrition, because now it's been found that there are certain food substances, if you eat them, they will protect you against certain types of cancers. Well, you know, if food substances will protect you against cancers, then, you know, if you did have one, you would think that you'd want to continue certainly utilizing these various food substances. And yet this sort of thing has been known for many years, sort of forgotten, you know, when the era of surgery and radiation and, of course, chemotherapy. Why don't you just talk a little bit about the disease and of course, nutrition, because I know that's what you've been studying in recent years, and really your book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, that really gets into the background. And I know it's being read by so many of the people across America who've gotten it from my ministry. And, you know, every one of them has really been taken with it and very happy with it.
Well, I appreciate that. And it was written to help people understand some of these things that can save their life that they never hear about. The epidemics was something that particularly intrigued me. It all started with an article I read concerning surgical mortality due to infections. It was always assumed that the antiseptic era, when Joseph Lister introduced using sterilization with carbolic acid to sterilize instruments and kill bacteria, that the surgical mortality began to fall. Well, a study that was done approximately 10 years ago, once they looked back at the literature, what they found is that people that were operated on within the cities had an enormously high mortality rate, but those that were in outlying areas had a very low mortality rate. In fact, as low as the period of the Joseph Lister antisepsis. What they found is the only common denominator was their nutrition, that the people in the outlying areas ate a lot of fruits and vegetables, and those in the cities ate mostly meat and starches. So their nutrition was very poor, and they had extremely high infection rates and mortality from infection. numerous studies, I mean hundreds of studies since that time, has found that that's exactly true. If we look at people's nutrition, those with the poorest nutrition have the highest infection rate, the highest mortality, the highest complication rate. And that's held up through all the epidemiologic studies and population studies that's ever been done. And a recent thing that really intrigued me, and I'd always suspected it, the Ebola virus, which is supposed to have an 80% mortality, I suspected that the reason it was killing so many people in Europe was that the poor nutrition and the fact that, in Africa, it was because of poor nutrition and because of the fact so many people were infected with parasites, just the psoriasis and malaria was very common, so they had impaired immune function. And then when they got the virus, they had a very poor immune response, and therefore they had a high mortality rate. Well, a recent study looked at that, and they found out that actually there are many cases of mild Ebola virus, and that when they looked at the reason why people were having mild cases, it was because they had very strong immune systems, and when they had the good immune reaction, they were able to kill the virus and really had very mild flu-like symptoms or even mild-like a cold, never really got very sick. And they said, really, when these epidemics come through Ebola, it's probably much larger than they think because people are having mild cases and never get reported as Ebola. So this was an interesting observation, again, showing that it's the state of the immune system that determines whether or not you get seriously ill or whether you're going to have a high mortality or complication rate. Knowing that, this is, again, recently pointed out with West Nile virus, what we found out is that there's a growing number of people who develop paralysis, just like polio, from West Nile virus infection. But the only people that are developing this syndrome are people that are elderly. That's the only common factor. And so when they look at the elderly and see why are they particularly having this paralysis and no one else, it's because of the weakness of their immune system. So that the younger person with a higher reactive immune system is not developing the paralysis because they can clear the virus very easily. Now, when we look at why the elderly lose their immune system, which virtually everyone after age 50 will start to lose a lot of their immune function and ability to clear these infections, when they looked at why, there was one factor that caused it, and that's poor nutrition. And they found that you could totally correct this age-related immune depression simply by giving a couple of nutrients, improving the diet, and then you could restore the immune system back to what it was when they were 25, 30 years old. So they had full protection, very powerful immune systems. This means that people don't need the flu virus vaccine. All they need is these supplementation to boost the immune system, restore it to its normal function again. So based on that knowledge that nutrition was the key factor that had to do with it, what I was interested in is what we call non-specific immune stimulation. And basically what that means is that you build up the immune system and the ability of the immune system to react very quickly so that people can survive these viral infections or even not even get the virus infection, and so you have very low mortality, very low complication rate. And this is really very easy to do. Now, one of the other things that I found is very important is that if you have a single nutrient deficiency, for instance, vitamin C alone or vitamin B6 alone, it can cause profound immune deficiency, even if all the other vitamins and nutrients are normal levels. So it requires that all of these different nutrients be improved. So looking at the best ways to produce this immune stimulation and prepare us for fighting these viruses and bacteria, it's kind of divided up into immune modulation. The immune modulation means that you repair the immune system, have it where it can react very quickly.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we are going to just take a little quick break and then we'll get back in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Hello, Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and his book we're talking about is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Now, why don't you sort of pick up the story? You were telling us the whole idea was to try to alter the immune response. So why don't you go from there?
Okay. If we look at what happens when you get infected, let's say a virus, when the virus first enters the body, it's not causing any disease. You're not even aware you have it. There's a gap between the time you're exposed to the virus and you actually start to develop the symptoms. We call that the incubation period. And what's going on during the incubation period is the virus is replicating very rapidly so that it can go from 4, 5, 10, 100 viruses to billions of viruses, and they're spreading all over the body. Pretty soon they begin to overwhelm the body. The immune system is slowly activated. As it becomes activated, it starts killing these viruses. But of course, instead of killing 100 viruses, now it has to kill 10, 20 billion. So the idea is that during this incubation period, when these viruses are trying to replicate, what you want to do is have the immune system react very quickly. You can do that with simple things like beta-glucan. Beta-glucan is a polysaccharide that's extracted from the cell wall of yeast. There are beta-glucan receptors in our immune cells, and so that when we take this beta-glucan product, what it does is it interacts with those receptors. It activates two very important cells, the macrophage and the neutrophil. Those cells are the one that start the immune reaction, so that once it's stimulated, as soon as these viruses enter the body, the immune system can react much faster than it would normally. The other is an immune stimulant called cellular forte IP6, and basically what it is a chemical substance called inositol hexaphosphate. What it does is it stimulates the cells in the immune system that kill viruses and bacteria and funguses and activates them so that they can react much quicker and do a better job of killing these invading organisms. In addition, they bind the iron, and we know all microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, funguses, require lots of iron, so that if you're infected and you're taking iron supplements, your infection is going to be a lot worse. And we know that some people have died because they were taking iron supplements or were given iron during their hospitalization for that very reason. The infection becomes overwhelming. So this product, what it does is it binds the iron so that the bacteria and fungus cannot use it. But it doesn't bind so much iron that it interferes with the body's ability to use iron. So a combination of those two, the beta-glucan and cellular forte IP6.
I know, cellular forte IP6?
Right.
How do you spell that?
C-E-L-L-U-L-A-R, and then the forte, F-O-R-T-E,
mm-hmm.
and then the initials, capital I, capital P, dash 6.
IP6, okay.
In fact, one company makes a combination of the beta-glucan and the cellular forte IP6 in a single product. It's called MacroForce. It's a highly purified, and it's very important that the beta-glucan be highly purified because if it has protein contaminants, it can cause autoimmune problems. So there's only a few companies that make such a highly purified product. Now, that's the most powerful thing you can do, and I treat flu and everything else with this, and it's just dramatic improvement. You know, this last year we had a very virulent form of flu that gripped the United States.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We're going to just bring back one of our stations right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock, his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and he's been talking about what you can do to actually increase your immune response, talking about beta-glucans, a cellular forte IP6, there is a product out there called MacroForce that apparently you use in your practice to actually help people improve their immune status.
Right. We use it to treat cancer patients and patients with serious infections. You know, like I was saying, this past year we had a very virulent form of flu come through. People were getting in and it took months for them to get over it. If they took these products, they didn't develop the flu at all, or if they had it, it was just so mild they hardly even knew they had it. the people who already were in the depths of a severe flu and feeling terrible, if we put them on it within 24, 48 hours, they were well. So it works extremely well, even for cases that are already in the middle of a bad flu. So we know it's very powerful against very virulent and powerful organisms, and that would include smallpox, Ebola, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's going to stimulate your immune system to fight whatever organism invades, and that's how it's superior to vaccines. Vaccines have to be specific for whatever disease you're trying to prevent. This, it doesn't matter what the virus is, it's going to protect you against all of them, or whether it's a bacteria or a fungus or whatever. Now, the other thing that we found out is that one of the key elements to do with this immune-related immune suppression was the loss or low intake of the carotenoids. The carotenoids are things that are found in leafy green vegetables. Most people are familiar with beta-carotene, but there's about 50 different carotenoids that are related to beta-carotene. They, if you give elderly patients with poor immunity just this alone, most will have their immune system completely restored. Several of them, like the beta-carotene and the camphoxanthin, which is one of the carotenoids, and lutein, are very powerful in restoring age-related immune loss. Also, vitamin E seems to do the same thing, particularly the vitamin E succinate, or the natural vitamin E. Selenium plays a big role in immune function, particularly the part of the immune system that fights viruses and bacteria. One form of that's called selenomethionine. That's selenium combined to the amino acid methionine. And it's a very powerful immune stimulant. It's very potent at inhibiting prostate cancer. It protects the heart against the Coxsackie virus, which causes a myocarditis. It's the most common cause of people ending up having to have heart transplants. So it's very important in preventing these viral diseases and cancer. And then we found out that you need to take a multivitamin mineral so that you get a balance of all the other vitamins to prevent any deficiency in any single vitamin. And by that combination, most people will have a very powerful immune system that will protect them against most of these diseases. One of the vitamins and the mineral plays a big role in protecting you against the virus from ever getting in your body, and that's zinc and vitamin C. That is, we know we have natural barriers that line our intestinal tracts and nasal cavities, and it's very important to keep the virus from ever getting in the first place. Zinc and vitamin C strengthens these barriers, and in addition, zinc increases what we call secretory immunoglobulin A, which is a antibody that acts at the surface of your mucous membranes and can kill viruses that way. Another supplement that you can find in most health food stores is called N-acetyl-L-cysteine. And what it does is when you take this, it increases an antioxidant in the cell at very high levels. And this antioxidant is the most important antioxidant in the cell. It's called glutathione. And they found that when you take people who have already contracted a cold or a flu, if you give them NAC, the severity of the cold is dramatically reduced, and they recover from the cold faster. So it seems to work with all viruses that so far tested.
These have all been actually tested and evaluated by responsible laboratories. So these facts you're giving out on nutrition are not simply something that's old wives' tales. This is based upon science, and yet, of course, the average individual doesn't realize that increasingly the scientists are beginning to find the importance of nutrition. Is that right?
Right. All of these things I'm telling you are from peer-reviewed scientific journals. None of this is from health food store brochures or little old lady down the corner who sells these things. All of this is out of peer-reviewed scientific medical journals. So it's been well studied. A couple of the supplements tend to directly have antiviral, antibacterial activity. For instance, garlic is antibacterial, and it's a very powerful antibacterial.
I'm going to have to interrupt you right there. We're going to have to just take a quick break. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and of course we're talking about his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And of course, Dr. Blaylock has been going through the various nutritional things that will help. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, and I realize this is Good Friday, and I don't know how many of you are listening, but this is an important subject, and Dr. Blaylock was kind enough to come on here this evening to talk about it. If you have any questions, though, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Dr. Blaylock was beginning to tell a little bit about garlic. You know, garlic, isn't that what you use to drive away vampires?
It's even better than that for use against viruses and bacteria.
All right.
One of the things that was discovered as sort of an observation was that during World War One, you know, about 20 million people died from typhus. It killed more people than the war itself. And they found that the soldiers that were carrying a little clove of garlic with them and chewing on it every day, almost none of them developed typhus. At that point, they realized there was something in the garlic that was an antibacterial. Well, since that time, they've done numerous studies in scientific laboratories, and they found that there's several components in the garlic that can directly kill viruses and bacteria and do so very potently. And so now they have garlic extracts that are deodorized, so you don't have to worry about the odor effect. And it also has direct antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal activity. The advantage of the garlic is that the bacteria never develop resistance. We hear a lot about antibiotics resistance and encouraging people not to use antibiotics unless they have to. The beauty of garlic is that the bacteria can never develop resistance to it. Vitamin C also has antibacterial, antiviral activity, but it takes a very high dose, something like 10, 15 grams a day of vitamin C to produce antiviral effect. One of the flavonoids, which is a plant phytochemical called quercetin, that's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, which has been extracted, and you can buy it in most health food stores now. But the quercetin also has antibacterial activity, and one of its advantages is that it's an antihistamine. So the people who have sinusitis or allergies, if you take quercetin, you get a lot better, but you don't get the side effects like you do with normal antihistamines. There's no sleepiness. You can operate heavy machinery, it won't bother you. So the quercetin is an excellent antihistamine. Plus, it's a very powerful antioxidant that's been shown to particularly protect DNA against damage by free radicals. And it's a cancer inhibitor. So those three things have direct antiviral, bacterial, and fungal activity. Another flavonoid that's extracted from the spice turmeric called curcumin is getting a lot of attention in cancer research because of its ability to inhibit the growth of cancer cells. And it's also been shown to significantly improve infections as well. It's a very powerful anti-inflammatory that is reduces inflammation. It stimulates immunity from primarily the cells that fight viruses, bacteria, and funguses, and it stimulates chemicals from the immune cells called cytokines that we know are absolutely critical to killing viruses and bacteria. So even people who have impaired ability to produce these chemicals from their immune system, these cytokines, it will restore it. And it's a very powerful antioxidant as well, so it's sort of wears a lot of hats and does a lot of good things to protect the body.
And how do you spell quercetin?
It's curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N.
All right, fine. Now, you mentioned garlic earlier and eating cloves of garlic. Is this really the best way to do it, or are there any products out there that where you get, you know, the active ingredient, and what is it that in the garlic that's important? Is it the allicin? Is it something else that really has these properties we're talking about?
Well, there's numerous components that seem to have some activity, but the allicin seems to play a major role. You can get it as an extract, and there's one company that makes a very highly purified allicin supplement give you the name of it because I've forgotten the name of the company, but one of the very few companies that make this high, pure Allison product.
Now, is it an American? Is it American company or English company?
I think it's an English company.
That's probably Alamax then.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, Alamax. But it's a very effective. They use it for cancer. Garlic has very powerful anti-cancer effects, but it's also excellent antibacterial. You hear a lot about other things, colloidal silver and things like that. I don't generally promote that, even though silver compounds, what was called silver sulfidine, was the greatest breakthrough we ever had in burn treatment. When I used to work in the burn and trauma unit, that was one of the things that changed dramatically the mortality of severe burns, was the addition of silver sulfidine. Because you could put it on the skin as a cream, and it would kill virtually any of the bacteria or funguses that used to infect these burn patients. I'm a little worried about taking it orally because we know that the silver does combine to several components in brain cells and can interfere with brain cell function. I'm a little bit worried about that, and I just would be cautious and wait till there's further research on the neurological effects of silver.
Well, you know, they're tremendous within the conservative community, the people that, you know, reading some of these magazines pretty far out. There's a tremendous drive, you know, everybody ought to be on this and make it your own, and you get this little battery and a couple of silver wires. And I've always been very worried about that. I remember when I was a child, we used to have Argerol nose drops, and then, of course, there were people getting black eyeballs because it would be absorbed and go into certain parts of the body. And the use of a heavy metal in the body, you know, most of these have a really toxic effect, don't they?
Yeah, they bind to several of the components of neurons or brain cells, and they sort of resemble some of the effects of aluminum in the brain, and that's what worries me about the silver, the colloidal silver. I would not encourage people to use it and take it regularly because of that. The research on the brain effect is sort of early. We don't have enough of the final word on the effect of that silver in the brain cells, but we know it collects and we know it stays there. So.
That would be a concern to me, and certainly it's going to be a long-range study on this, but you know, a lot of people I know and that I really trust have expressed exactly the same opinion that you do. Everybody's telling me how wonderful it is because it kills bacteria, and it really does. Does a great job at killing bacteria on the skin. And it probably even kills them in your intestinal tract, but what does it do to your brain? And that's the important thing. Well, let's go to Pamela, who's calling in from Aptos, and let me just once again mention our telephone numbers. The 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Pamela, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I have two questions for your guest.
All right.
And one would go back a little bit in the conversation. There was a product that was mentioned that was helpful for viruses and flus. What was that name?
Is that the beta glucan?
No.
You mentioned Macroforce.
Macroforce.
Macroforce, and apparently that is a combination of the beta glucan and the cellular forte IP6. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
How can a person find the Macroforce?
Well, the Macroforce company does not sell it directly to the public, so you have to get it through a supplier, which is usually a health food store.
All right.
It's a very highly purified form. There's another company that makes it called ImmuCell, which actually is the research scientist who did most of the basic research on beta-glucan starting over 30 years ago. You can get that from the www.sourcenaturals.com.
I know them.
Yeah, you can get it through Source Naturals. It's also a highly purified form of beta-glucan. It's less expensive than the Macroforce.
And it's ImmuCell?
Yeah, it's an ImmuCell company, and it's the Source Naturals will sell it. They handle it.
Okay, anything else, Pamela?
Yes. Is Kyolic a good garlic supplement? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, they make a very highly purified form of garlic. Yeah, I would recommend it.
What is the product again?
Kyolic. It's K-Y-O-L-I-C. I've been taking it for quite a while. I used to work for Source Natural.
Okay.
And it's not their product, but they deal with lots of other health food products. Threshold does in Scotts Valley.
All right, fine. Well, thank you very much, Pamela.
Thank you.
Else you want to ask?
No, thank you.
All right, fine.
Good
Thanks
night.
For calling. And our telephone number again, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, you know, of course, I think it's so important, especially now, that people do everything they can to build up their immune system or at least have these products on hand. Because if something were to happen, and I will tell you that there's every indication that there are going to be some serious problems health-wise for people not only here but throughout the world in the months and years that lie ahead, at least know what to do, prepare, and they even have supply of some of these things on hand. In fact, they wouldn't do you any harm to take the ordinary. Do some of these actually have some effect as far as impeding the growth of cancers?
Yes, there's been some interesting experiments done on various cancers, including melanomas, brain tumors, lung cancers, numerous types of cancer, and they found some very promising results on tumor shrinkage and preventing these cancers from developing. That's one of the things we've learned from cancer is that the most important factor is how strong your immune system is. If you have a very strong immune system, you're very unlikely to develop a cancer, and if you develop it, you're more likely to survive it. So that's something that is very, very important. I have a third book that's going to be coming out pretty soon that's on cancer and nutrition that will go through a lot of that as well.
All right, when will it be coming out?
It's supposed to come out, I think, in September.
Have you finished it yet, or are you still working on it?
No, it's finished. The publishing company is putting the final touches on it.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting. I can remember when I was a very young doctor, and we had, of course, I was just assisting in surgery, and this one lady just, we opened her up, and she's just, you know, just full of cancer, and, you know, what do you say? She's going to die. There's nothing can be done. And so, you know, she was a woman maybe in her 35 or 40, and you just feel terrible about it. And we just, you know, a surgeon said, you get diffuse metastatic cancer, you got to die, and sent her home. And, you know, maybe a year later, I ran into her husband, and I said, no, what happened to your wife? And he says, oh, she's fine. And I said, what do you mean? Well, she got better. And it was that first inkling. I mean, this didn't fit into the way I looked at these things. I mean, you got cancer, you died of cancer. But some people, on rare occasion, can get better because of their immunity. And this is the thing. The immunity actually can take care of many of these cancers. You know, and I'm not suggesting that we abandon all the traditional forms of treatment, but I think it's important that people understand that their immune response to their cancer, or perhaps even prevention of the cancer, but their immune response to it can really have a profound impact. Wouldn't that be true?
Yeah, there was a very interesting book written, I guess, 50 years ago or so by Emerson Cole, who was a surgeon. He collected all the cases that he could find in the world of what was called spontaneous regression of cancer. And that's people who have cancer all over the body and it just, for some reason, seems to disappear. When they looked at all of these thousands of cases he had collected, what they found as a common denominator was immune activation. So that some people, for instance, had a vaccination to go on a foreign trip and all their cancers disappeared. Other people developed an infection with a bacteria and the immune system reacted and it not only got rid of the bacteria but also got rid of the cancer. So that seemed to be the common denominator. Well, now we're looking back at all of this early work and observations and some very elaborate scientific work has been done on it to show that that is the number one factor. We now have even fine-tuned it to see what cells in the immune system are most important, and it's the same ones that are stimulated by the beta-glucan and this cellular forte IP6. So the studies that have been done with these two immune modulators seem to be the most promising at controlling cancer.
All right, well, let's go to Scott, who's calling from Washington. What are you calling from, Scott?
Tri-Cities, Washington.
Okay, good to have you with us.
Yes, is your guest familiar with Manatech products? I've heard about this company that sells immune supporting products, and they call them Glyco Nutritional.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Are they legitimate? Is that a valid way to?
Yeah, it's like any company that's selling something, they kind of overstate their case, but it's based on good science. The Glyco Nutritional science is pretty hard science, and it's well demonstrated from numerous experiments. And the Manitech product seems, from the scientific studies that have been done on it, seems to improve some conditions, and some quite dramatically, some just a little bit. But we know that these glyconutritionals that are in the cell membranes of the cell play a major part in how healthy we are, and tend to modulate disease. So it tends to help, but it's not near the power we're talking about with beta-glucan and these other products.
Now, is Manitech a multi-level marketing system?
Right.
The trouble, some of the products put out by the multi-level marketing companies are really very good, but people get into those and they get so obsessed with it, and this replaces everything else in their life.
Right. And that is the problem, is they tend to think that it should replace everything, and of course when they sell them Manitech, they don't want you taking vitamins, and they don't want you taking this supplement and that supplement. Their product alone is going to cure everything, and unfortunately that's just not true.
Okay, anything else, Scott?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much. And of course, there are so many things out here and so many claims that are made. And so actually, Dr. Blaylock isn't selling anything. He's just telling you what he's learned. I first met you, must have been close to 20 years ago at an AAPS meeting, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons meeting. And so you've been around for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, been struggling with this for a long time, and at AAPS, been struggling with socialized medicine for a long time.
Right, and of course, I've left that part of the battle to you. I think I can do more good here on the radio, trying to get people to think about what's going on. Well, anyway, our guest has been Dr. Russell Blaylock. His book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And if you're interested in learning any more, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have some interviews with Dr. Blaylock for interviews that where we just talked about the mercury that has been in the vaccines and its impact on our children's brains. And they knew it was toxic, and yet they put it in there. And then, of course, they still have the mercury in the influenza vaccines they keep trying to give older people, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's still in the vaccines and still in a lot of the children's vaccine as well. They claim they took it out, but a recent check found out they haven't been taking it out at all.
So why would they lie to us? Well, maybe they're just so used to lying that it's pretty hard to tell the truth.
Well, they're making a lot of money with the thimerosal, and their excuse originally was that, we have to use up existing stocks. But when they looked at it, the existing stocks had disappeared very quickly. So this meant that they were putting new thimerosal in the new vaccines. So they're continuing to add it just like before.
And of course, really, they are giving toxic levels to our children, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Recent reviews have shown, in fact, there's a government study that's apparently been kept very secret, shows that the amount from the vaccine increases the risk of autism about 3 or 4-fold.
Have you read Dr. Mark Geyer's work? In fact, he had a recent lead article in the Journal of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. It used to be the Medical Sentinel. They've changed that title, but that newest edition. Have you read Mark Geyer's work?
Yeah, in fact, I have. One of the peer reviewers for that article.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's done a great job. And for
it's
our
an
listeners,
excellent article.
We have an interview with Dr. Mark Geyer, who has really done exhaustive work on the relationship between autism and thimerosal. And everything you're reading in the newspapers and hearing through much of the media just is not true. Because how can you admit that the U.S. Public Health Service and the CDC and the National Institute of Health has been pushing vaccines that they knew were harmful and were having a devastating impact on the children? And, of course, the phenomenal increase of autism from 1 in about 2,500 children actually to about, 1 in 250, 150 children or 150 children?
Yeah, that's right. It's been... at least a 200% increase in some of the studies that they've looked at. And they all started at the time when they begin to add numerous vaccines all at once, you know, around 1986, I think it was. So they were adding so many vaccines, the average child by age two was taking something like 22 different injections. So each time they got an injection, they got a dose of mercury. And some of these children were getting as many as 7 injections in one office visit. I wrote an article for the Journal of the American Nutraceutical Association on the problem of autism and its relation to overstimulation of the immune system by vaccination. And what we find is that when you give that many vaccines, it activates the brain's immune system to such a high degree that the brain starts secreting these excitotoxins, and that damages the brain. And that's because these vaccines have very powerful adjuvants in it that really powerfully stimulate immune cells of all types. Plus, it's got the virus that they want to use. And putting all that together and giving it in 7 doses at one sitting is just too much for the brain's immune system to handle. The thing about the beta-glucan is that it's not an immune stimulant. It's an immune modulator. That is, it makes the immune system where it can function when it's ready to function, but it doesn't keep the immune system highly activated like vaccination does.
All right, let's go to Dorothy, who's calling in here from, of all places, Santa Cruz. Hi, Dorothy. How are you doing?
Hi. I would like to ask your guest what he would recommend taking holistically for a family member who's just been diagnosed with lung cancer. Is there something that can help him?
Yeah. In fact, it's more than I could tell on the radio because it's a very complicated thing. But
do you have a website?
No, I don't. But the new book, when it comes out, will have it all in there. I've written several articles on this. But basically, what they have to do is change their diet dramatically. There's certain types of oils that people use commonly that suppress the immune system, like corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, peanut oil, soybean oil. Those are all immune-suppressing oils.
You mean peanut butter is not good for me?
Not if it's mixed with the oil. Usually in peanut butter, they add vegetable oil to it. So it's immune suppressing. So you don't want those oils. You want mainly extra virgin olive oil, which has some very powerful anti-cancer effects. You want to use immune stimulants. You want to use certain types of vitamins like vitamin E succinate is a form of vitamin E that has a powerful inhibitory effect on numerous types of cancer, including lung cancer. In fact, lung cancer is one of them that seemed to affect the most. The curcumin I talked about is also a very powerful cancer inhibitor. It inhibits the ability of the cancer cell to grow. Quercetin also inhibits it. Selenium is important because it stimulates the immune system that fights cancer. All of these things have to be added together. You have to avoid MSG, fluoride, mercury, because all those things affect the immune system and can promote cancer cell growth. Fluoride itself increases cancer cell growth 25% in one study. So, you know, it's kind of a multifaceted program, but you have to do it all. Juicing is very important, where you take the vegetables and some fruits and put it in a juicer. I usually recommend a blender rather than a juicer so you don't throw anything away. You blenderize the vegetables, you get a lot more of the nutrients out of them. High intake of that can significantly improve all cancers, including lung cancer.
And now, has the person had a surgical biopsy? Have they had a surgery, a removal, or what are they doing for the lung cancer?
Well, what it is this, and my question, too, is once it has metastasized, which it has in him, it has metastasized to the liver, it's stage 4 cancer, which he just discovered several months ago, and he has started chemo. And he's trying to do holistic as well because of the metastasis. Now I'm wondering, is there any single powerful agent that would help him maybe more so than these other things since he does have metastasis?
Well, the curcumin would be the thing that would help the most.
And how do you spell that?
It's curcumin.
Okay. And where do you get
500 milligram doses, and you take 1,000 milligrams 3 times a day.
1,000 milligrams. And where do you get this?
can get it at most health food stores.
Okay.
Let me see. There are laws in California that you know that really restrict people doing this. They say the only thing you can do is cancer. Pardon me, is radiation, chemotherapy, and certainly and surgery. We have such laws in here that doctors who really, are practicing in California who are recommending anything but the standard things can lose their license. Can you believe that?
I can believe that. And this book that I have coming out, what it's basically story is telling is and proving through the scientific literature is that these supplements not only do not interfere with traditional treatments, they make them much more effective.
And I think that's really what's so important. Yeah, certainly not to discourage your friend from using traditional therapy, but he may very well want to be looking into all the means of treatment to help and supplement it. Okay, Dorothy?
Okay, one last question. Since I tuned in late, what is the name of the book that
it's
is coming out?
Called, well, the book he's already written is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And, of course, what's the new book going to be, Russell?
It's Natural Strategies for Cancer Treatment.
Okay, so that'll be coming out in September.
Okay.
So you just keep listening to Radio Liberty.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Russell, we're out of time. I want to thank you so very much for staying up late back there and being with us this evening.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate you inviting me on this program.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, this is the time I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who believe in what we're doing as we reach out 5 hours a day, and of course, on our weekends as well, on about 35 stations to try to educate the people about what's really going on. And so if you believe that there are real problems out there, you may not agree with everything we say, but if you agree with most of it, we hope many of you will consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like to get a free copy of my March newsletter, which tells you the real reason for the war in Iraq, not the first which you're getting from the media, but about the little group called the Project for the New American Century that was organized in 1997 with Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Boland, and so many of the other people in the war cabinet. And they had decided back in 1997 and 1998 that we had to go to war with Iraq. So understand that everything you're getting in the paper is simply propaganda. And of course, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter, taken not from what I say, but from what they say. And then, of course, you can check the documents on their website, which is newamericancentury.org. That's www.newamericancentury.org. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like that free copy of our newsletter, or if you'd like to any more information on what we've been talking about tonight. And then, of course, this is Good Friday. And, of course, as you look at the world, why some people say, you know, life is hopeless and then you die, or no good deed will ever go unpunished, or life is simply a matter of quiet desperation. I don't believe that at all. I believe there is a God, and I believe that it is Jesus Christ. And I believe that this day, of the day of his crucifixion, and, of course, Sunday coming, the day of his resurrection, is the hope of the world. Because, of course, if the story is not true, then life really, in many respects, is right useless. On the other hand, if it is true, why, there's hope for us. So, under any circumstances, pray for America, pray for revival, and please remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until Monday, may the Lord be with you. well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And but to hold your calls for the time being, we have with us this evening Glenn Spencer of the American Patrol and now the American Border Patrol. And you know, we had Glenn on earlier today on our early morning program, and we were talking, of course, about what's going on today. And I commented at that time, you know, every American knows that we're involved in a war with terrorism. How do we know that? Why, we're told over and over and over again. We go to get on the airplane and we have to take off our shoes because, of course, John Reed, the mad shoe bomber, the only trouble was, you know, remember he was trying to light the fuse to set off his shoes and blow up the plane, but you can't set C4, which is what the explosive was in the shoes, you can't set it off except with blasting caps. I mean, it could actually burn, might give him a hot foot. But this whole thing, well, it was perception, you see, because he was trying to blow the plane up by lighting a fuse. And, of course, somebody had to know that you can't set C4. I mean, you're not working with explosives like this and without knowing that you can't set them off that way. But we've convinced the American people we've got to have our shoes checked and we've got to be checked because we're involved in a war on terrorism. And yet, if we're really involved in a war on terrorism, why haven't they tried to steal our borders? We have troops in Germany, and we have troops in France, and we have troops in Japan, and we have troops in Korea, and we have troops in 40 nations throughout the world, but we can't guard our own borders. And you're going to be talking a lot about that tonight. You know, if they're really concerned about terrorists, why is it the administration's done everything they can to block the arming of our pilots? Oh, yes, so they passed the legislation that they can carry weapons, and then they've made it so difficult that most pilots are simply not going to bother to go through all the rules and regulations, psychiatric checks. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got people who fly planes with 300 people in them, you know, they could, of course, do anything they wanted to if they were not mentally sound. But, oh, before you can carry a gun, we have to have a psychiatric check on you and check your background and check everything about you. And they're making it as difficult as they can. You would think that they would be happy to have somebody guarding the cockpit to protect the American people if there really is the threat of terrorism. How much of this is perception and how much is reality? And I would say that most is perception. Very little is reality. And there's so many other things we could point out. That everything is perception, you know, but of course we just never, oh, sir, there are some Islamic terrorists out there. Most of them came out of the Mujahideen financed by the CIA in the 80s, or the young men, of course, that were indoctrinated with the $56 million USAID spent on textbooks to push the radical Islamic faith and how wonderful it was to kill the infidels like you and me. Financed with our tax money. And if you doubt that, we have the articles on $56 million from USAID to promote Islamic terrorism in the Islamic countries. So believe me, we've created the best enemy your tax money can buy. Well, Glenn's right down there on the border, and he's probably doing more good than anybody else I know to dramatize and to bring the attention to the American people what's going on. Glenn Spencer, thank you for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's good to talk to you again.
All right, fine. So anyway, why don't you tell our listeners the exciting things that you're doing right now?
Well, since I talked to you last, I was down on the border, the Mexican border here in southeastern Arizona, and I met with a rancher, Wes Flowers. Went down and talked to him, watched he and his son repair damage to their pasture to hold their cows in. These people raise cattle as a business to survive. They have a small cattle ranch right on the border. And we've been out there a number of times with our video cameras demonstrating the fact that their fences are being torn down by people who are invading the United States. And we talked about that earlier. We've been down there at night. We've been down there in the daytime and documented this. And today we were down there as they were repairing damage done by a fire that, according to the Sierra Vista Herald, was started by somebody who came into the United States illegally, built a fire there, a campfire, started an enormous fire, burned down a riparian area, and along with that, rancher Wes Flowers, southern the cornerstones, the posts that hold up his cattle fences. So we were down there, and then saw all of the damage that had been done by this fire, damaged this sensitive area, and we're going to be down there again tomorrow.
No, you don't have to worry about being repetitive. This is an entirely different audience. This morning we were talking to people in Colorado and that on the American Freedom Network. Now you're on the Radio Liberty Network. So don't hesitate to repeat what you told us this morning.
Basically, what we're doing down here, to repeat a little bit, the idea that we had, and I've been at this for 12 years, is that there are millions of people are coming across the U.S. border illegally. Ron Sanders, the former head of the Border Patrol here in the Tucson sector, the busiest sector, has said that 1 million people a year get past the Border Patrol. 1 million! And, of course, Ron is on our board of directors. And I said, Ron, you know, if that's true, we should be able to go right down to the border and take a camera and using technology and get this live on the Internet. It's like the 101 freeway through California. And he said, I think you can do it. Well, we have done it. We've gone down there. We have shown, we've positioned ourselves, waited for a few minutes, and here they come. And we have it live on the Internet.
Because you're not there. You're not trying to arrest them. You're not trying to do anything. All what you're trying to do is dramatize to the American people that the administration says one thing, but, of course, they are doing another. And they're not trying to guard our borders. Bill Clinton didn't do it. George Bush isn't doing it.
There was no question of that. We know that. And we demonstrated. But we understand that the American people's attention is a competitive platform. People want to get, you know, buy Coca-Cola, do this, watch this thing, watch this wild thing, all right? Watch this television program. So there's a great competition for the attention of the American people. So we've taken this as a challenge, and we're going to show the American people in a way that beats every reality show that they've ever seen. Their own country being invaded. But we just don't want to do it once on Tuesday or Thursday, a couple of times a week. We're working to do this almost 24 hours a day.
And so to be able to go to your website and see the people coming in across the border and maybe start asking, hey, why aren't they doing anything about that?
That's correct. And so, but we understand that, once again, the attention of the American people is the focus of billions of dollars of advertising money, of billions of dollars of people who want, look at me, look over here, look at this, do this, spend your money here. So we understand the competitive environment that we're in, and we understand the opposition that is trying to make us look terrible. But we think, and we know, I know this, we're close to having an incredible view for the American people, that they can log on 24 hours a day and just watch their country being invaded. This will be so compelling when we finally do this that they will be unable to watch anything else.
All right. Now, basically, of course, you have infrared cameras down there, and
yes,
you can see these people coming off and across the border in 10s and 20s and 50s, people at a time. And Chris, what do you do when you see them coming across the border?
Well, we don't interfere with them at all. We're passive observers, and then we call the Border Patrol, and then we record what happens. Last week, we had our infrared cameras remember, these cost more than $10,000. The one we were using is a $13,000 camera, and if I might say so, I bought it with my own money. And we had it down on the border in amongst some cottonwood trees, and we were there less than an hour. And we found 30 people coming across. And using our microwave link and the high-speed interlink up to the satellites, we were able to show the people live.
Now,
what was going on?
What you're really hoping is that people will go to AmericanBorderPatrol.org, and you can tune in and see exactly what's happening at the
time. That's correct. Now, they can't do it all the time because we're not out all the time. We will be out tomorrow evening, by the way. We've come across a situation where we've decided that we have a very, very good chance of sending live signal. So I will be out tomorrow night at this time on the border. We believe we will be able to send out live signals of people entering the United States illegally. So, yes, you can go on American Border Patrol. You can download a piece of software that will alert you when we're out, on patrol. Or you can say, oh, no, don't alert me just when they're on patrol. Only alert me when they really think they have something. No, don't alert me then. Only alert me when they have actual people on camera. So you can pick your level of interest, and then when we're doing that, then suddenly we'll set a flag when we're out in the field. We'll set a little indicator, and then you will see something flash on this, your computer screen saying, yes, they do have somebody live right now. Click here to see it.
All right, fine. And, Chris, when you actually see these people, you report them to the Border Patrol.
Yes.
And the Border Patrol comes out when they have time. Or
yes.
How often do they come out?
Well, they've been pretty good. I would say maybe 70% of the time. But recently, it hasn't been that good. My sample size isn't as reliable as I would like it. I would like to be out all the time. But recently, it's more anecdotal than statistically significant, but it hasn't been that good.
Well, of course, the other thing is that when the Border Patrol arrests these people or detain these people, they don't send them to jail for violating our laws and coming in here illegally. They just send them back so they can come in again, so they can catch them and send them back so they can come in again.
Oh, yeah, it's a game. What they do is they stop them and they take them back to one of their local offices. They thumbprint them or fingerprint them and take a picture. And then mostly what they call, unless they're OTMs other than Mexicans, if they're Mexicans, they merely send them right across the border for them to try again in an hour. And according to the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Tucson, that has to happen 15 times before any charges are filed. And even then, it's just a misdemeanor. So it's as if, you can go in and rob a bank 15 times. So it's a misdemeanor. Come in and steal some Levi's from a store or whatever, shoplift 15 times before they will charge you. But that means being caught 15 times. Now, a lot of people with shoplift never be caught. So at this rate, all of our stores would be looted and empty. So, but this is what we're trying to do is really show the American people what is going on. We will, in a couple of weeks, have an unmanned aerial vehicle in the air to show the American people, what's going on. We understand, once again, we're in competition with, things like, I don't want to say lascivious things, but murder and mayhem. So, but we want to attract the American people's attention. And in this live, real-time video that we're doing now, they will be able to just sit and watch their country being invaded.
And, of course, I think that what's very important for our listeners to understand is this is part of an agenda. neither the Democrats nor the Republicans really want to stop it, because their loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist vision, you know, where we all live together happily, where America becomes a multicultural society. And as I commented this morning, I remember 1988, and Senator Hayakawa, a Japanese-American United States senator, was trying to get legislation through Congress and the Senate that said that we would have one language. We would be one country.
Right.
We would have one language.
The glue that holds the nation together is Hayakawa.
And he couldn't understand why it was that there was all the opposition. Well, you see, Senator Hayakawa did not understand there is an agenda out there.
Yes.
And it's funded in large part by the Ford Foundation and people of that ilk who have an agenda, and that is to destroy our sovereignty, to really merge us with the rest of the government, the rest of the world, to redistribute our wealth, and that's why we're actually encouraging our factories to move overseas.
Right.
We can't let the American people know that, because when they realize that they are to be impoverished and their living standards raised to that of the Mexican peasant. So anyway, where does the Ford Foundation fit into this?
Well, you know, the Ford Foundation, as I learned, put up all the money for a group called the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, MALDEF. They started that organization. They put up the money to create an organization called the National Council of La Raza, the race. This is well documented. Nobody disputes this. They have funded the National Lawyers Guild, an organization once described by the Congress of the United States as the legal bulwark of the Communist Party in America. But you know, I have these little audio clips that I play. I have a dog who has found a new toy. But I have audio clips that I play, and I'd like to play one from Mario Oblado, who was the co-founder of the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. All of this created by the Ford Foundation. Now, this is Mario Oblado.
We're going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state. You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that? I did. They ought to go back to Europe.
Okay, they ought to go back to Europe. Now, this is the man who won the 1998 Presidential Medal of Freedom from Bill Clinton. And these comments came out 3 months after he won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. California is going to be a Hispanic state. Anyone who doesn't like it should leave. They should go back to Europe. This is the guy who co-founded MALDEF with Ford Foundation money.
And these people are real racists, and of course. They're out there, and of course, they're using, you know, the illegal aliens. A lot of them are coming up there. They want to, you know, they want to make money. Their own government down there has impoverished them. But of course, if they ever are successful in, you know, converting the Western states into a Mexican subsidiary, they'll be just as poor and impoverished here. Because it's the system that creates the poverty and the socialism and the elitism that they have in Mexico. And certainly destroying America is not going to help the Mexicans, but actually giving them freedom and a free electoral system rather than the controlled elections they've already had. They've all had one political party for 70 years, just about. Now they have two political parties, and both of them are going the same direction.
Well, that's correct. But, you know, we have to understand that there was a difference between the pilgrims who settled North America, the North American continent America, and the conquistadors who plundered Mexico and slaughtered the Aztecs, who themselves were cannibals. You know, there is a difference between these two cultures. One was launched in fire and blood, and the other in an intellectual pursuit of freedom. And there is a difference.
Well, I think that the American people have to understand that this whole MALDEF, LULAC, this whole revolutionary movement of people coming in here illegally, and actually these organizations for illegal aliens are funded by the tax-exempt money of the Ford Foundation.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, until people understand that the great tax-exempt foundations are like a cancer eating away at the very heart.
None of these. Let's understand that their own leaders have admitted, Dr. Stan, that none of these organizations would exist without the Ford Foundation. It wouldn't exist.
And didn't they actually take somebody from the Ford Foundation and put him into a key position in the Clinton administration as far as the border control?
No, border control, our entire INS. The man in charge of policy, setting policy for the Immigration and Naturalization Service for years under the Clinton administration was a guy by the name of Dr. Robert Bach.
Where is he now?
Well, I believe he's back at City College of New York, where he started. But he left after Bush came in, but a lot of his people are still there. He set policy, and before he got the job, which was to defend America in the INS, he worked for the Ford Foundation for 7 years on immigration policies. And Georgiana Geyer, a well-known columnist, syndicated columnist, described Bach in her book, Americans Know More, The Death of Citizenship, as a rabid multiculturalist. Rabid. You know, he was running our INS, setting policy. The American people don't know this, that we were overwhelmed by these people. And we're now, you know, feeling the effect.
Yeah, and, of course, the president wanted to give all of the illegal aliens amnesty. Of course, he wasn't able to do it because of the outcry from the American people. But, of course, that was his real goal and objective. Now he's simply going to give them Social Security so you can come up here as an illegal alien. And, of course, when you go back to Mexico to retire, you can get American Social Security payments. What madness is that?
Well, you know, there is this idea that we have an aging population, if I may say so. Aging meaning we're not having babies, and why don't we have babies? All right? Anybody have any idea? Why aren't we having babies?
Because everything is being done to discourage it.
That is correct.
In this country, and the taxation system.
There are 1.5 million abortions every year in the United States, and we have 1.5 million people coming in from the third world. However you feel about that, the idea that a young couple will say, I'm going to do the responsible thing and not have that second or third child because I can't afford it, they're going to pay for it anyway. Because their decision to restrict their family size by social responsibility is being vetoed by their government, because all of those seats in the schools, all of those positions on the parks and everything, those are all being taken up by third world immigrants who are, many of them, here illegally. So America is now committing suicide.
And one of the things that you were commenting on this morning was the fact that, you know, if you, a Mexican national or anybody else, goes into a hospital in Mexico, and of course they're seriously injured, they're seriously ill, and they don't have any money or insurance, then they just put them in an ambulance and they send them across the border to our hospitals where by law they have to admit them. And of course the incredible part of that is, you know, the Border Patrol, you said this morning, is instructed that if anybody's coming across seriously ill in an ambulance, they have to let them through.
No, not even seriously ill. Any ambulance that shows up at the border is waved through.
Automatically. What madness is that? I mean, obviously, they know what's happening. This is intentionally bankrupting our health care delivery system. Why? Because the people in Washington, D.C. want to bankrupt this so they can have socialized medicine, and so they create the problem, but they have a solution.
Overwhelm the system to the point where the only solution is socialized medicine.
Right, and the same thing, of course. You know, they're doing everything they can to keep people from buying cheap drugs in Mexico and Canada. Why? Same drugs as you get here. They don't want them to buy cheap there. They want to run the prescription costs up here in America to create a crisis so people will, of course, accept the new socialized medical system. And the American people are so They don't understand what's going on.
It's so complex. And I wrestled with this for so many years. I said, look, I'm going to the border to make my last stand down here, right? Because here it is, black and white. Okay, I'm going to show them using advanced technology because I have a background and I know how to do this. And in the next few weeks, they're going to find out how I know how to do this, right? I'm going to show them that the technology is simple. We can do this. We can show how it can be controlled. Now, when we do that, the planet that I have is this. It will become obvious to the American people that there are forces at work in our government who do not want our borders controlled. Because if some guy can go down there with a few thousand dollars, right, and show live on the internet, night and day, and from the air, right, live, these people walking in, then it's obvious that the most powerful nation on earth is allowing these people to come in here, and then the American people will ask, why is this?
And that's the most important thing, is for people to begin to ask why.
Why, exactly. And with conviction. See, when they can see it, because once again, I understand the problem. We're all, you know, bombarded with do this, think this way, do this, whatever, buy this, concoction, lose weight, gain weight, buy. We always, our attentions are being, there's a tremendous competition for our attention, our resources. What I decided is, look, what can be more simple? Here it is. What could be more compelling? And I think the American people are smart enough to know if we do a good job at this, then they will understand that, okay, yes, this is intentional, and we better do something about it.
Well, that's certainly my hope as well as yours. And now tell us a little bit about these drone planes that you think that you can put cameras into, and you can keep a watch on the entire border and know exactly where the people are coming in both day and night.
Well, you know, we've heard about these UAVs and these drone planes, and I'm a pilot, and I've been flying. I have over 5,000 hours in the air. I'm an instrument pilot, and I love these kinds of things. And I thought that this would be a good application because, technology has allowed these airplanes to become very light, very efficient, and then with, this miniaturization of electronics, you can take one of these little airplanes up and fly them around and see all kinds of things. And I believe this last year when I launched this. And it turns out that we were contacted by a good patriotic American who happens to be just about the world's leading expert on this thing. And we're right here next to Fort Huachuca, which is the head of the Army Intelligence Center, and that's where they build it. That's where they fly these things. Well, I had a fellow who contacted me, and he said, "You know, I've watched your website, and I happen to know what I'm doing here." And I met with him, and boy, does he ever know what he's doing! He's one of the world's leading experts. I don't want to tell you who it is, but he says you're on the right track, and so. I put up the money and bought one of these UAVs, and we've got it. And now we have all the electronics, and I will tell you right now, we're going to fly this thing over the border and others. We're going to get some more and send live images from right over the border in the next 3 weeks.
That's right.
And at a cost that is stunning.
And the thing is, it could be done so easily and could be done so efficiently. You have to understand they're spending a lot of money to accomplish absolutely nothing because that's the agenda. But you can't tell the American people that. They might begin to understand that what's at stake is our future, our freedom, our families.
Dr. Stan, the theory that I had, the hypothesis, I think is coming true.
We'll be right back here in just a moment with Glenn Spencer. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Glenn Spencer of American Patrol or American Border Patrol. And, of course, if you want to get onto your Internet access, that's AmericanBorderPatrol.org, why, of course, you can begin seeing these pictures that they're putting up, the live pictures of the massive invasion of America. And then ask yourself, are our leaders really serious about fighting terrorism, or is there another agenda behind what's going on? And is it true that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king? And is everything perception sort of like it was in Jim Carrey's The Truman Show? Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then I just simply want to mention that we carry several of Glenn's excellent videos, and you'll hear some of these quotations from the radical extremist leaders of the illegal alien group, these racists who are really trying to stir up anger and hatred on the part of the Mexicans towards America. And instead of trying to improve Mexico and improve the lot of the people there, why, their job, their intent, is to destroy America. And I don't believe that they're even Mexican nationalists. I think many of these are hardcore revolutionaries being funded from the Soviet Union and other centers where the world terrorist movement is being funded from and always has been funded from. So why don't you pick up the story there, Glenn, because really what you're talking about now, having these unmanned vehicles up there, you're even talking about putting sensors along the border, aren't you?
Yes, we have really some terrific technical people who are on our payroll now. And on our payroll, can I say that? I can say that because the American people are beginning to reach out. I guess we just got a... May I tell you about a donation we just got? $5,000 on American Express card?
Right. That's wonderful that people really do care. And then,
oh, it's the peak. I mean, I couldn't believe it, and it's followed up by other huge donations. People, but we're putting it to work. They're beginning to see, I think these guys have got the right idea. And so, well, you know, we do. And by the way, I'm not paid. I am not paid. I do this. We have other people on the payroll, but I receive no money whatsoever.
Well, I know you do it because you believe in what you're doing, and
yes,
this is why we get you on, because we want to get your message out.
I know people have to be paid, and they should be paid, and but in this instance, I'm not, because I'm in a position to be able to do this. I put up about $200,000 of my own money to get this started.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, Glenn, and I think it's really so important that, you know, you're down there. And once we can get the American people to begin to think, asking those questions, why, what's this all about, why are they, why when I go to the airport are they so concerned about terrorists, but why is it that so people can come across our borders, and how many of these people are terrorists? And we have heard stories that there have been, efforts to get people across the border who were, frankly, terrorists, and there's no way to stop them the way the system's set up now.
Well, Dr. Stan, we're very close to having an answer to that, thanks to the people like that lady from Utah who just helped us out in a very, generous way. That allows us to do what we can do. Anybody who has seen our website, we do have live images. But I found out that we have volunteers that go out with us. But the best way is to have the high technology. And that's how America is, able to impose its will on Iraq. And I believe the same technology can be used to show the American people that it should impose its will on our own government.
Well, I agree with you totally, Jim, and I think it's really so vitally important that people really catch a glimpse of what this is all about. And tell us, you're actually with the sensors, or can you tell us how the sensors would work? Or would you rather put that off to somebody?
Well, I can tell you how they work. They are geophones, what we call geophones. And there was a fellow here today, and he and I were both in the... I used to run a seismic oil exploration company in the early 80s called Aerostar out of Denver, Colorado. I was a general manager, and I actually found oil for oil companies using these geophones, which were buried in the ground and sitting off charges or vibrating. So I had some technical background in the idea of using ground sensors to detect footfall, people walking in, walking across the earth. So I applied that technology, but we've done it in a very special way. We've researched ways that to apply computer technology to these ground sensors. These are smart sensors, and they're cheap sensors, and they're smart in the sense that they know how to use battery power. And I can't go into all the circuitry concepts that we're using, but the batteries in our sensors in the ground that will do 10 times more than a Border Patrol sensor, but the batteries will last 10 times longer. And so those we will be able to put all along the border in a way that we will know when somebody's walking into the United States. That will give us a GPS location. That will be sent to us if we're in southern Arizona. If somebody walks across the border in Brownsville, Texas, we will know about it.
And see,
right,
the thing is that, you know, this is a lot cheaper than actually putting up a great big enormous fence, and then people can always climb over a great big enormous fence.
This will define the problem. I'm not talking about fences, but we will know in our headquarters here very soon in Sierra Vista, Arizona, when somebody walks across the border.
And then
we will launch an airplane, a little mobile airplane, little UAV. It will go down and confirm and send an image back to us right here, okay, of who it is, how many there are, are they carrying drugs, and do they have weapons, right?
I think that's a great idea. And, of course, the thing is
And we'll be able to do that at a fraction of the cost of what our government is spending.
But the thing is that our government is wasting money. It's spending it to try to give the impression they're doing something.
You know, impression is the exact word.
Right. It's all perception, but having nothing to do with reality.
Exactly. So what we are going to do, in fact, we have the resources to do it now on a limited scale. If we can expand those resources, we will we could do it even more. But we have the way now. We're going to show the American people. And we will show them in real time, and we know how to do it. And this is scaring the pants off of them.
Now, I understand that Morris D. of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and this is one of the most radical left-wing, an organization that has no fear at all of communism, but, of course, fears anything that might be aimed at preserving our country.
And personally, one of the most depraved people you ever want to hear about. But that's another story.
You're talking about Morris D.
Yes.
Right.
He is a depraved, radical leftist who has been attacking me for years.
Well, you know, don't sugarcoat it. Why don't you just say what you feel about him? Okay, but anyway, of course, they are actually doing everything they can to try to put you in as a radical, you know,
right.
a militia, you know, these people out there arresting people on the border, and you're not doing any of that, and that's why I really am so intrigued with what you're doing. There are other people out there who are trying to apprehend people, and I think that's all well and good, but it's never going to solve the problem. They can only be one place at a certain time. But you're looking at the overview and really trying to change the perception of the American people.
Exactly. And when I say we're going to do this, you can find out whether we do it or not by, you know, logging on to American Patrol and American Border Patrol. Okay. Like tomorrow night, we'll be out in the field. We'll be out on the border. So you can find out what we do. You know, it's the proof of the pudding. Is right there. And we perform. I will be out on the border tomorrow night. I will be right there. Well, I just got a brand new bulletproof vest today, by the way, by one of our donors who said, I've been watching you, and you better wear this. So I happen to be wearing it tomorrow night.
All right, fine. Well, I think that you really should, because, of course, you are no threat at all to these people, but you're a threat to the system that is bringing them in.
Yeah.
And this is it. Of course, now, of course, the coyotes, these are the people that are paid to bring them across the border illegally. How many of the people coming in are really involved in drug traffic?
Well, it's hard to say, but we do know this. According to Congressman Gallagher of California, The illegal alien that crosses our border is 10 times more likely to end up in federal prison than anyone else. 10 times.
Well, now, is this because he's going to be committing crimes? Is this because he's going to be involved with drugs? Is this because he's going to...
All you have to do is say, you know, what are the people, the number of people in our federal prisons? You know, it's counting the balls in the jar, and how many are illegal aliens? Turns out that in our prisons, the likelihood that the person is an illegal alien is 10 times more higher. And why that is, I leave someone else to do.
Well, I think we ought to send him back to Mexico and then pay the Mexican government, because it'd be a lot cheaper to keep him in Mexican jails, and they certainly wouldn't treat him anywhere near as well as we do.
No.
They probably wouldn't have a television in their cell. And,
right. So, you know, we talk about these issues, and I've talked about them for years. We fought Prop 187 in California, and the Mexican president came in and made a deal with Gray Davis to kill it. I've seen it. I'm not going to give up. So I've seen all of our efforts defeated by very clever political moves. So I thought, well, let's go to a very clear and simple playground. Let's go to the border. Let's see what they do when we try to tell the American people what's going on. And we've already seen it. We've seen the Attorney General of Arizona receive a petition this week that we should be investigated. And one of our board members, a former Chief U.S. Border Patrol agent, heard about this and wrote the Attorney General and said, please investigate me. I have never been arrested. I have many congressional awards. I have been the Chief Border Patrol Agent for the United States of America. I have run the Border Patrol Academy. I believe in what Glenn Spencer is doing. Please investigate.
Well, now, of course, you've actually there on the board on the border doing what you're doing. You come in contact with a lot of the Border Patrol people, the people now who are employed there. What's their response to what you're doing?
Attaboy. Thank you. Respect, camaraderie, shoulder to shoulder, all on the same side of this issue. The Border Patrol agents, almost, I would say 99%, are behind us. It's that management, that Ford Foundation culture that has taken over in Washington, D.C., that is really polluting the whole environment.
And, of course, is represented in both political parties. Our telephone number, 464-8295. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, if you agree or disagree. How do you feel about the invasion of America? How do you feel about the effort to change the culture of America, to have us a bilingual country? Will that strengthen us, where we have, of course, two groups that they can play one against the other? How do you feel about the Ford Foundation funding organizations for people who come here illegally? How do you feel about the fact that Governor Davis wants every illegal alien to be able to go to our state colleges and universities at special reduced rates? What about these new identification cards that they're coming in with, Glenn?
The consular matriculate card is the greatest sham ever perpetrated on the American people. And it's stunning. You can go on AmericanPatrol.com, which is the California side of the political side of what we do, and American Border Patrol funds do not contribute to that. But you will see city after city accepting these consular matriculate cards as valid ID issued by the Mexican government to anyone with no ability to verify if they're the person holding this card is a criminal. It's just, each day that goes by in this thing is more stunning to me than the last.
Well,
and this one is really, how stupid can the American people be? We are plumbing the depths of absolute stupidity here.
Well, of course, everybody was so fixed to the, for the television for the 3 weeks of the war, and now that the war is over, why we've got baseball season starting.
Right.
After that, why, of course, we'll be getting right back in basketball and football season, really important things, and so the fact that our country is being invaded at the present time, most people don't have time to worry about. But if we can draw their attention, if you can draw people's attention to what's really going on and make them understand that, of course, the implications of all these people coming in, and, of course, as our economy gets worse and worse, and it is going to get worse and worse, more and more people are going to be thrown out of work. And, of course, they're going to be competing for jobs with people who will work for half what they will work for.
Well, as an economist, I will tell you it depends on who defines the measurement, who defines the economy, like ecology is a measure of something, and the economy can be measured in different ways, and I think that the way we measure it right now is inappropriate and does not reflect the true standard of living of the average, as our preamble says, the pursuit of happiness. Okay, but that's another subject entirely.
Well, I think that the standard of living of the American is gradually declining. It's not plummeting, of course, unless you're out of a job, but it's going down just a little bit. And of course, the only reason why we're living as well as we are is because we're, of course, able to buy all these wonderful, wonderful things, clothing and other products, all of them made overseas,
yes.
And most of all by slave labor.
Well, I believe in good trade, in open trade, and to take advantage of the relative merits of each nation, and we can all benefit from that. I'm not a protectionist from that standpoint. I think the data show that we as a global entity will benefit from the talents of each other, and we should do that, but within the constraints of law, and that's an important condition.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, what can the listeners out there do to help you in what you're undertaking at the present time?
Well, what I found is today we were visited by a rather prestigious lawyer from San Francisco who just happened to pop in on us, and he was just stunned to see what we are doing. And I think ultimately what I would like is if there are those out there who are in a position to help, in a position to make a difference, give us a call and come down and see for yourself. There's nothing like a first-hand observation. Our number is 1-800-600-8642, 1-800-600-VOICE. Give us a call tomorrow. Come on down, look, see for yourself what we're doing, what the problem is, and see what you might be able to do to help.
Well, you were telling a story this morning about a woman who is very concerned about the people coming across the border down around San Diego. And so she started out getting, a small number of people at nighttime as dusk fell to go down to the border and turn on the headlights heading towards the border so you could see the people coming across. And, of course, when it's illuminated, they wouldn't come across. And why don't you tell that story? I thought it was really fascinating to show what one person can do.
Well, it's in our DVD. I have an interview with Muriel Watson, and I'm talking to her out in front of this barrier system as a background to this interview. And she is there talking, and in the background is this border barrier system which has been developed. And she is the woman who built it. And in 1989, December, she and 24 of her friends put their cars up on a road called Dairy Mart Road, facing south, and at 9 o'clock they turned their lights on. And out there suddenly were all these people scurrying into the United States. So a month later they came back, and a year later they had 1,500 cars lined up turning their lights on. It was called Light Up the Border. And it was on television, and Congressman Duncan Hunter, who happens to be the head of the Armed Services Committee now, his people went down there, and they ended up building a barrier system. And you will see me talking to Muriel and saying, you know, it's too bad we can't light up the entire border using the Internet. And in fact, I said, we should do it. We should be able to do what Muriel Watson did with 1,500 cars. What I plan to do is use the Internet to do the same thing, to show the American people what's really going on their borders, and with the same effect. When they see it, something will be done.
And of course, what we need to do is, of course, get people going to your website, understanding what it's about, telling other people, and let them understand the implications of the invasion.
Exactly.
When people come in here illegally, certainly they are not honest people. And of course, what they're doing is siphoning off money from the welfare system, from the healthcare system. Many of them actually have diseases like tuberculosis, and they're actually sent up here because they can get free medicines here.
Right.
Why should Mexico put their money out when they can get their rich uncle to the north to do it with your tax money? And of course, you know, they're certainly they're taking their children are in the schools. They are simply swamping the schools. The county of Los Angeles, my understanding, is just about bankrupt, isn't it?
The entire state of California is bankrupt. You know, we just invaded a country, Iraq, not because they were a direct threat, but because we disagreed with the way the country was being run. If we looked at Mexico carefully, I think similar complaints could be lodged.
Well, of course, I'm not suggesting we invade Mexico, but you know, certainly the fact that that we are going along with their policy of actually doing everything they can to force the United States to help subsidize them, and we have been subsidizing them with loans, and then of course allowing them their people to come in here in large numbers and make money, and that money goes back into Mexico. And, of course, now their conscious effort to send their sick people across the border to bankrupt our health care delivery system. I understand why they're doing it. The question is, why do our federal officials allowing this sort of thing and mandating that the hospitals have to take care of these people?
Well, I think I know why.
Why?
This is an overarching goal of the Mexican government, and I believe also the Mexican people. To reverse the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, a scar on their nation, they intend to really occupy us and turn us around and turn the Southwest over to Mexico.
But of course, once you did that, Mexico would become like America, but America would become like Mexico.
Of course.
With the same sense of lawlessness and corruption that is so inherent in the Mexican way of life.
But still, it's called irredentism, and you can look it up. They feel as if they have to redeem their lands, resurrect their national pride that was damaged by the War of 1848. We have forgotten about it. They haven't.
Well, now, actually, didn't we actually compensate them for when California came into the Union and was taken from Mexico? It really wasn't taken. It was bought from Mexico, wasn't it?
Well, $15 million. But beyond that, there was the Gadsden Purchase, which is also $15 million. And I happen to be sitting in the Gadsden Purchase right now, that territory purchased from Mexico without the drop of blood. The point is this, though. I believe that the propaganda in Mexico is, I know it is, that they have a right to come here. A recent poll, a Zogby poll in Mexico about a year ago, found that about 60% of the people felt that the Southwest belongs to Mexico, was stolen from them. And I don't think the American people understand that. The significance of that. I don't believe it's 60%. I think it's 80 to 90%.
Well, if you're...
And I don't mean to demonize the Mexican people. That people say, hey, you're going to do this, if you hate them. No. You have to understand these kinds of feelings that are extant.
Well, of course, you know, there is some justification. And when I say that, actually our government was really involved in the revolution that took place in the 20s or 30s there. It was,
right.
It was basically a communist revolution. Nobody wants to say it, but it was a communist revolution, and they nationalized the oil fields. And then, of course, they established a one-party system. And that's why when, of course, Trotsky fled Russia, where did he go? He went to Mexico.
But Diaz was the last, I think, fair president of Mexico.
Well, what year was he in?
I think it was like 1911.
Right. And after that, it's been a one-party authoritarian system like they have in Russia. Oh, they have votes, but, you know, everybody knows the votes are fixed. Everybody knows that everybody's on the take there, and they simply have corrupted the system, which is what always happens when you have this centralization of power, which is what communism is all about. And if you think communism anything to do with redistributing the wealth, well, look and see what's happened in Mexico. Look what's happened in Russia. Have they redistributed the wealth? No, they've redistributed the poverty. And, of course, the average Russian and the average Mexican has been impoverished, and we've backed both of them. Well, that's a different subject.
Yes,
we're just about out of time.
It's a different subject, and I think worthy of some pursuit. Complex issues. What I have decided to do, Dr. Stan, is come down to the border where it's black and white.
Okay,
here's the border, here's the law, what's the problem?
Okay, do you have a parting thought for our listeners tonight?
Let's isolate it here. I think if anything else, come on down. Don't put up any money. Put up a little time. Give us a call at 1-800-600-8642. Come on down to southern Arizona. It's beautiful this time of year. And see what we're doing.
All right, well, God bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing, and
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, that was Glenn Spencer, and I hope you enjoyed our program with him. That was American Border Patrol or American Patrol. American Border Patrol, of course, we will see the video pictures. We do have several of his videos about the invasion. You can simply, if you're interested in, it's the Glenn Spencer videos. And really, you'll see the quotations on there from these people who are talking about taking over our country. They're serious, they're revolutionaries, and of course, they're being subsidized by the great tax-exempt foundations, including and primarily the Ford Foundation. Now, this is the time we ask you, of course, to give serious consideration to helping us in what we do 5 hours every day as we reach out across America, trying to get people to think about what's going on. If you want to understand the foundations, two books. One is Importing Revolution. That's Importing Revolution. The other is Foundations, Their Power and Influence, a book I read 40 years ago that changed my life forever, with the realization that the Rockefeller and Ford and Carnegie Foundations and many of the others were using their money to destroy America, to subsidize communism and socialism, because they understood it had nothing to do with redistributing the wealth of the rich. It had to do with destroying the middle class and creating a ruling elite and then an indentured class. So our plea to you is, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 464-8295. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask specifically for the March newsletter. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival. Because if this country doesn't turn back to God, why, of course, God is going to turn his back on America. And finally, we ask you to give serious consideration of for praying for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, why, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.
show, Dr.
Well, thank you, but you know, I'm surprised we didn't get more in the previous question. I got some antibiotics out here for you.
Oh, you do? Well, I think it's because of today is Good Friday.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It's just a little discouraging, I think.
Yeah, that Spencer, that's the first time I heard him.
Yeah, he is very, very good.
Do you have a bill for me here?
Well, let's see.
Robert says if I take off again, maybe Squid will come up here and keep her company.
Okay.
I'll keep him company. So.
Yeah, I can write these things out for you. Take one of those twice a day. You can take these once a day, or if you really want to.
Oh, what about the potassium iodate, honey?
Oh. We didn't get a supply of potassium iodate, did we get a supply?
We did.
Well, we did.
Should we give something?
Sure.